Once more, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. And I would like to encourage all of you who call yourselves saints and know that you are saints, saints for Jesus. Let's gather ourselves together and let's gather ourselves in thought and mind and enjoy some things from the Word of God. I would like to remind you from Hebrews and chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected for ever them that are sanctified. Now, I would like to share with you some nuggets of truth here and say to you that the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sufficiency of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is all caught up in these few words. We find, for instance, the contrast between the old dispensation and the new. But this man, says verse 12, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, for ever sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. I would like to share this with you. I wish it was a day where we could just be preaching this, because this is mighty powerful. The apostle is talking of Jesus, and he is saying that Jesus suffered once for all sin. Because of that, God remembers our sins no more. We'll come to this in a fuller way in a moment or two. But if you look at this verse 11, the apostle says, every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. You cannot take away sin with sacrifice. Jesus is the only sacrifice that God understands, accepts, and will keep. It has made such a vast impression that God saw the sin of the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, like the ram that was caught in the bushes in the time of Abraham and his son Isaac. The laughter that the word Isaac means, the laughter that came from that happening, was in heaven, because God provided himself with the sacrifice. Yet Abraham had to be ready to sacrifice his own son. Now here is something that is baffling. God says, I will not receive human sacrifice. And so because he said that, there is a sort of contradiction in what God was demanding of this man Abraham and what actually took place. God was asking Abraham, how willing are you to bring all the people of Israel that weren't yet called Israel to me? Are you willing to take your own son, your only son, and sacrifice him for the sin of all these people? Abraham said in effect, yes. So he took his son up the mountain, which today is the mountain upon which the temple had rested for many years, and now is under the authority of the Muslim people, but will return to the Jewish people with great power, and God will return it, and it won't be arguable, though many people will throw their hands in the air and say all sorts of things about what is happening. But God is sovereign. God is Lord of all. He created the ends of the earth. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. This God Almighty will go back to Jerusalem, reclaim Jerusalem, and place in the hands of those that love him that temple, that mountain experience with him. Well, whilst there, Abraham was faced with the issue. God had said, sacrifice your son. He was asking Abraham, how obedient are you? But there is a sense in which Abraham was representative of God the Father. And God was saying, how determined am I to save these people? He saved the people his way. God had his plan worked out. And when Abraham took the boy and lifted the knife, the angel cried out to him, Abraham, Abraham. There was a very real, excited performance from the angel repeating the name of Abraham. Abraham, don't touch that boy. Now, we are not to touch the Son of the Living God. We are not to put him down. We are not to create within our hearts anything that would damage the beauty of the holiness and presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a contrast between these. The old priest would have to go into the temple many times, and many times there wasn't enough room for new sacrifice, or there wasn't enough sacrifice being brought in. So he would use the old sacrifices that already had been burned. He just cremated them a little more. It was the same sacrifice sacrificed over and over. Now notice these words in verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. But this man, this was the changing of the guard, as it were. This was the changing over of the old economy to the new economy, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Jesus suffered for sin. Jesus died because of sin. Jesus was resurrected, hallelujah, from the grave, and today is alive. Now, there was a young man, it was on television in the last few days, shown several times. He was in London, and he had just murdered an English soldier in Woolwich. He had slit his throat and was, with a small cleaver, seeking to take the head off that young soldier. It's a shocking thing, and I hope it shocked all the people of Great Britain. The tolerance for things that are not of God has gone too far. That is another subject that I don't want to get into now, but I want to say this to you with great love. That is not the solution. Listen to the young man. He was yelling at the top of his voice, getting his face into the camera, and he was saying, it's right, we're right, because there's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That isn't what Jesus taught. And I wish I could have been there to say to that young man, but listen to this, a new commandment give I unto you. The Lord Jesus said, love your neighbor in the same manner that you love yourself. Have compassion and mercy. Have joy and fellowship. Consider your neighbor in a way that you would like to be considered. But no, there's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. How foolish this young man was. He ignored one part of the scripture, a part of the scripture that had been overturned by the blood of Jesus. It had been put away by the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus, and had been overcome by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Why couldn't he see that part of the scripture? But you see, in the last days, the minds of these people are going to be clouded, and there will be great resentment, because God offers no man judgment. He offers all men love. God is love. Where was the action of love in this man's action? It didn't exist. His wife, his children, his parents are going to be grieving for the rest of their lives over the death of their dear son, a soldier. And so you come to a place where there are three things about the old economy. First, there were many of them. Every priest depicts or indicates this, that there were hundreds of priests, and there were. In Jerusalem, hundreds of priests served God in the temple. And it's necessary for us to understand what they did. Their work was never done. Notice in verse 11, every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. He is saying this goes on and goes on and goes on. They're the same sacrifices, not even the opportunity for the priest to sit down. There were no chairs around that sacrifice altar. He couldn't sit down. He was just continually working. Now notice the third thing here. Their sacrifice could never take away sin. Verse 11, which can never take away sins. Let's understand that all that I do for the Lord Jesus, I may lay down my life for him, but it's not going to take away the sins of the world. It's not going to take away the sins of the community or the family. I shall lay down my life for my Lord Jesus because as a bond slave with the other Christians, I am able to minister the gospel of the Lord Jesus. This is a terrific thing that happens, but I can't take away sin. It's an impossibility. The categoric statement of verse 11 is in front of us. Their sacrifices only anticipated the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a Bible student, then look at 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, the Gospel of John 1 and the 29th verse. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty peace or wash away the stain. Nothing but the blood of Jesus could do that. And I know that isn't a very popular thing to say, but I don't care about popularity. I care about the cleanliness and the clearness of the Word of God. Now, if you go with me, please, from verses 12 through 14, there are five things about the Lord Jesus evident in the great high priest. This man, Jesus, is the highest of all the high priests. This man, Jesus, in the way of contrast to other men. First of all, see, there is the presence of Christ. These words empathize our Lord's true humanity. He was and is a man. In the second chapter of 1 Timothy 5, we read this very clearly, and it's not so difficult to understand. Jesus said that he was the Son of Man, and he was the Son of God. It's not a contradictory or fashionable thing that he was saying. Notice also in Hebrews, in chapter 2 and verse 14, we discover these words, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation to the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." You say you've been tempted and you can't not follow the temptation. Of course you can. Jesus said he will make us new men and women. Jesus was born of a woman, and he knew what tiredness was. He knew what hunger was. You read Galatians 4 and verse 4. He knew the limitations of his body. He had to be a man to qualify as our great high priest, as Paul puts it in Philippians 2 and verses 6 through 8. That is one of the factors that we must take into consideration when we look at the simple expression, but this man, speaking of Jesus, Jesus and Jesus only. And then notice that he was a unique man, different to any other. He is holy and harmless, undefiled. Hebrews 7 and verse 26 tells us that. Look how great he is. Let's go to Hebrews 1. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness, there's a beautiful word, that brightness took its place, the effulgence of his glory. The effulgence is expressing the brightness, but it's beyond bright. When Jesus was transfigurated, we find that you could look through his clothing and through his body. There was a sense in which he was see-through. He was full of brightness, sheer brightness. And this Lord Jesus, in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made much better than angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. This is Jesus being spoken of, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father in glory. Now we discover some things about Jesus, and it's important for you and I to think about it very carefully. He was totally unique. We find that he is the one. We worship him. He is our great high priest. He is our Saviour. He is our Lord. He is our mediator. He is, in fact, according to Isaiah 45 and 22, our only God and Saviour. When we start to think of these things and start to put them into our hearts and start to meditate upon them, Jesus has a massive importance to every one of us. For he is not just a unique person, he is this man that came with great uniqueness, and he presented himself to the Father. Now, there are two things about this present person. This man offered one sacrifice, a sinless life given for the love of sinners, himself on the cross, our substitute, our sin bearer, for he bare in his body the sins of us all. Our Lord Jesus took upon himself the sins and dealt with them. He dealt with them forever. I've often wondered what it would be like, and I hope I never experience this, what it would be like to be a person who is accused of sin that would cause me to be executed. How horrible that would be. And I've often sat or tried in my mind to sit in the cell of the one that was going to be executed. And as I've sat and contemplated this, I've thought different thoughts, of course. How would I respond? And then when the hour of my execution was coming, I would hear the marching of the warden of the prison and the jailers, and they would come to my prison. What would it be like if, when they opened that door and I was anticipating being taken out to be shot or hung or guillotined, what would it be like if they said, "You are a free man. Someone else has been executed in your place"? I would be filled with gratitude. I would be filled with a tremendous anticlimactic expression. I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I expect I'd be absolutely turned into tears. But that is exactly what Jesus has done. And if the jailer, Satan, were to bang on my door and say, okay, execution is next, out you come, and he started walking me along the corridor, I could faithfully say, but I am resurrected in Christ. I have newness of life. Though I am going to die in my body, yet will I live forever with the Lord, because Jesus has conquered death. He suffered for my sin. He rose again to give me power to face this moment. And I could say to Satan, move aside. You lost. Jesus found me, gave me newness of life, and I shall live with him forever and forever. And then I would like to watch as he danced a jig of fury. Now, Satan does all of that. He is disappointed when people are not doing what he says. So start seeing things from God's point of view. Jesus is the one. This man, Jesus, present Christ, the sinless life given for the love of sinners, himself, Jesus, on the cross, our substitute, our sin-bearer. Let me take you to two things and close. If you read in Matthew 26 and verse 53 and John 10 and verse 18, you will understand that Jesus gave his life voluntarily. In John 10:18, Jesus said, I lay it down. No man taketh it from me. Those that say that Jesus was murdered are wrong, absolutely wrong. And they're wrong because the Bible says, Jesus said, I lay down my life, and the reason I lay it down, it is in order that I may take it up again and reveal to you, to anybody, to all people, the greatness of a wonderful Father in heaven. Notice, please, I lay it down that I may take it up again. And then, secondly, I would point out to you that the life of Jesus was given once. In Hebrews 10, we read these words about Jesus. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So some of you say, but I can turn away into sin. I can turn away from God. You most certainly can believe you can turn away, but it's impossible to escape his hands. Jesus said, I hold you in my hand. No man can take you out of my hand. And if that were not so, my Father holds my hands, and nobody can take anything or anyone out of my Father's hand. Now, Satan may accuse you at different times because you're a saint, that your sin will exclude you from the glory of heaven and the presence of Jesus. And he says that, and that doctrine is stated because he is a liar. Just lately, in this country of America, we have seen and listened to some of the most atrocious lies in our leadership that we will ever hear. Now, I point out to you that Hitler did the same thing. These people cannot win because God hates liars. Now, the word to lie is not a nice word, I heard one commentator say. It's too strong a word. Neither do we like to say the word hate, but we read that God hates sinners, liars. It's put out there in front of us as clear can be. Are we to deny the word of God? And I think not. You see, Jesus suffered once and for all. He was one sacrifice. Verse 12 of Hebrews 10 tells us that he was one sacrifice. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in glory this very moment. This is his day. One sacrifice, the doctrine of transubstantiation, is totally false. And yet some people believe it and will go to their graves believing it. It is not right. So let me not get too wordy about the doctrines, but let me just say this to you. The love of God is greater far than any tongue or pen can tell. It reaches from the highest star into the very depth of hell. Turn to this Lord Jesus. Let him love you and keep you all the days of your life. This man suffered for your sin once and for all. Pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for suffering so much for us and keeping us in your truth. Bless this word to everyone, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. Bye-bye. God bless.